Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Bias Vortex. I am your favorite football fan who brings you the best of footballing world. I'm a Manchester United fan, Oluwaseun Salah. And I also have my fellow, I would say ex-United fan, current Borussia Dortmund fan and Juventus fan. This guy always celebrates when Juventus wins more. Wait. I'm still doing an introduction. Calm down. This guy always celebrates when Juventus wins on the timeline. But when United loses, he doesn't feel any remorse. He cries for Juventus more than United. So now you have the floor. We have to keep.
I feel like you're confusing me with your toys. Is that who you're confusing me with?
Oh, that's true. Oh, but okay. You guys are both the same now.
No, we are not. Anytime I come here, you always give me a random club to support. I've told you, my United, they're my number one love. So that will never change. But yeah, man, happy to be here. Hope you're good. Hope everything is all right with you.
Yes.
Nice to be here once again.
Yeah, so I was watching the Dynasty, the new England documentary, Patriots documentary. I saw some of your comments about it. I was like, so I already like had it bookmarked to watch later. But when I saw your comment about it, I was like, I need to watch this thing before I bring this man onto this podcast, this episode. So I was watching, I went really far overnight. I went to like, I'm on episode 7 now. So what's the ending? What's your take on the documentary?
So I think because I'm a fan and I've followed them for well over a decade, I'm not going to lie. I say I've been like a fan since the 90s. I'm a Nigerian, so American football is fairly new to us around here. But I've been a fan since like the mid-2000s. So I've followed much of it. So the dynasty lasted 20 years. And I'll say I was a fan for like 15 years of it. I missed the first three. But I mean, what I'm trying to say is that I followed the New England Patriots very well. I'm a fan. I thoroughly understand what has been going on with them. So I think for me, watching this documentary, I was a bit let down because they did their best, their very best to paint the coach as the bad guy or the reason why things didn't go well. I think for a neutral fan, this will have been an enlightening documentary because they really went deep and they showed a lot of things that I guess the casual fan wouldn't have known. But because I am a proper fan.
Core fan, yeah.
So I know most of the things that were showed. But I really hated the fact that the kind of bent the narrative to paint the coach as a bad guy. And me, I'm a huge fan of the coach. Make no mistake, Tom Brady is the greatest player of all time. Will Patrick Mahomes pass him? Only time will tell, but for now, it's Tom Brady, right? So that part cannot be overstated.
Let me rest.
Yeah, this dynasty would not have happened without Tom Brady. It's very possible for you to bring someone more talented than Tom, because there are people that are more talented than Tom Brady. Anyone that follows NFL knows that Tom Brady's greatness has to do more with what is in his head rather than the physical abilities, right? So because of that, I always felt like even if you brought in someone who was more talented than Tom Brady, we wouldn't have experienced that level of success because a lot of things had... Tom Brady was just the perfect guy. Besides the talent and everything, he was also the kind of person that could sit down and take back like insults and all that. You know, he was willing to be to like take less money so that the team could get more players, you know, those kind of things. And it's not every player that can make that kind of sacrifice, right?
That sounds like Curry.
No, not even Curry. I think the basketball equivalent for me would be the San Antonio Spurs and Tim Duncan. I think that would be like the perfect equivalent. You know, you can say there are people that are more talented than Tim Duncan, even though Tim Duncan is like the greatest power forward ever. But Greg Popovich in Spurs had to work with Tim Duncan to win all those awards. To win all those titles. Yeah, he had to be Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan could take everything that the coach threw at him. Now, the very first instance where Greg Popovich worked with another all-time great, which is Kawhi Leonard. After like a few years, Kawhi was like, I'm out of here. That's to show
Just
you that
you're
it's
stressing me too
not,
much.
yeah, you get. So it's the same with Patriot. But anyway, my point in the Patriot is that they tried to make Bill Belichick look like the bad guy, the cause for this. And it hurt me because no matter how you look at, yes, Tom Brady was very instrumental to this, but the owner of the plan was still the coach. He was the one that laid the foundations. He just happened to be lucky enough to have found the perfect person in Tom Brady. But at the end of the day, it was still his plan. So I didn't like the way that they made him look bad. In fact, one incident was so if you can remember the New England Patriots tight end Gonzalez that was jailed for murder, right? And he got
No,
very sorry,
Aaron
Aaron Hernandez,
Hernandez.
rather, not Gonzalez, Aaron Hernandez. And so somewhere in that episode, at the end of the episode, they said something like, if the coach had agreed to trade him to the Seahawks,
I
maybe
saw
this
that
wouldn't have
one. I heard
happened.
that
Yeah, and in
part.
my mind, I'm like, so are you trying to say like the coach's fault for those murders and everything? If you get all those, it just seemed too messy. And I know that the coach.
And it's funny because on its own, I watched Aaron Hernandez documentary long time ago, like 3 years ago. They could have stopped that
Netflix.
guy since high school. It wasn't like he got away with high school, he got away with the college. Of course, like he's just ridiculous.
And people try to, yeah, it's a mess. And one thing about there, I don't even get deep into that, but I think just generally speaking, I didn't like the way they made him look like a bad guy. And
But it was on the documentary himself now, so
Oh,
why do you think?
so if you could read his body language, you could clearly see that he didn't want to be there. He wasn't really, you could see his like arms folded, chin up. He wasn't really flowing like that. Most of he seemed very defensive, even though I know that like that's his normal body
Demeanor.
language. But this seemed very different. He didn't want to be there. And I know for a fact that the manager, sorry, the owner, that's
The
Robert
owner,
Kraft,
Kraft.
and they have clashed a bit. So there's been that tension. What I felt was that this documentary will have been done, like, say, in 5 years' time when everyone has calmed down, they had moved on. Because for Brady now, Brady and Bill Belichick, they had, like, as the documentary showed, they were not on good terms. But over the past 2, 3 years, they've actually reconciled. They are now on, I won't say like best of friends, but they are now very cordial. They even did one interview together. They hopped on. He hopped on Brady's podcast, I think
Podcast.
about a year ago. So I think if the owner and Bill had allowed like let's say 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years, they would have been on better terms and they would have put out a documentary that showed that was a better representative of I say his time at the New England Patriots, because for me this one was just nah,
Too
I didn't
early,
like it.
yeah. Time, I mean, time he was. So when I was watching it, I was like, I can draw a lot of parallels with our own football, our own soccer, like the way he brought in Brady and the way Pep brought in Messi. It wasn't similar then. Also, how United too has been able to, like, under Ferguson, kind of go through those years to rediscover, reform, and also make sure that he's the most important person in the club and not the players. So it was an interesting documentary. I feel like people should watch it because I remember the Spygate. I don't really watch NFL like that. I don't watch like NFL like that. I didn't watch maybe I just started watching it maybe like 2015, and I started more on the play Super Bowl. But I know at some point I heard about the Spygate, and I also heard about the
Deflated
Deflategate.
gate,
So those two, I'm like, this sounds like, I mean, it's not directly as United, but it sounds like what people accuse United of doing. But I'm still on episode 7, so hopefully I'll finish it. And I mean, we need more of this kind of documentaries anyways. We need a more comprehensive documentary about United. We need more documentary about Messi, about Ronaldo individually. Then we now need the versus between both of them. We definitely need that. We need when they retire, we need somebody that will do a good job. And both of them need to talk because we need to hear how they think or how they were thinking in those days, because it won't do justice for us to just have a biography and not have autobiography. We need to see their own point of view, how they view things.
I
And
absolutely
yeah.
agree.
Anyways, let's go
So
back to our football. That is why we're here. See, is that why we are
agree.
here?
Yes.
So on this episode, we'll, in our usual manner, go through the weekend games. Then we'll talk about the game of the weekend, Manchester United versus Liverpool. Then we'll talk about Kobbie Mainoo's call up. Then our main topic today will be UCL quarter finals, because we have our European experts, European football
Oh,
experts on the show.
okay.
Then we'll talk about Nottingham Forest from point deduction. And because it's the international break, we will not have predictions on EPL games. We'll just maybe pick one or two games, international games, to discuss. So for the weekend, last weekend, there were just very few games. And we had just maybe, I think, is it four games? Oh,
Yeah,
we
four
had,
games, four Premier League games, yeah.
from Premier League games. We had Burnley, Brentford 2-1. That was surprising. Then we had Luton Town, Nottingham Forest 1-1. That was an interesting game. I feel like Luton Town is beginning to like give us those, I won't say classics, but they're beginning to give us quality football. They are relegation for that team, but they show up. And on Sunday we had okay, we had Aston West Ham versus Aston Villa 1-1. Yeah, that's one of those games. Then okay, I missed Tottenham. I missed Tottenham. Fulham Tottenham. Fulham spanked Tottenham. Tottenham did not come for that game at all. He did not come and play at all. Then the FA Cup games on Saturday, Wolves lost Coventry City. Like how? City beat Newcastle. Nothing new there. Just regular programming. Chelsea beat Leicester City 4-2. And Manchester United defeated Liverpool 4-3. So out of all these games, minus the Liverpool and Manchester United game, which one stood out to you?
So I didn't watch the Man City Newcastle game, but it went as I expected when I checked in at I meant to watch the second half. When I said it was 2-0 at halftime, I just knew it was going to go just one way. Newcastle's injury was they've been it's like someone really crushed them this season. I believe they've dropped to 10th in the Premier League, and if
Wow,
Chelsea wins their
tenth.
game at hand. Yeah, if Chelsea wins their game at hand, they could drop to as low as 11. Chelsea will move 10th.
Wow.
So I mean, they've really been hurt by, the rubber from Nick Pope down to, I mean, everybody. And then
Everybody,
there's that suspension for Sandro Tonali. So they've been hit by everything. They'll be very lucky to make the top eight, and I don't expect them to do that. I think this is just going to be one of those seasons where they don't judge Eddie Howe by the results. Like I said, the injuries have just been way too much to overcome. I think this is something that the owners should just try and overlook.
Is that
Then
your opinion? Is that what you think?
yeah.
So
I think the injuries have been way too much. I mean, there are like times when people have like proper injuries, and you can see like a way where people can work around it. But I mean, this Trippier is injured, Tonali is suspended, Joelinton has had his injury problems, Callum Wilson as well,
exactly.
Harvey Barnes. Someone was out for 6 to 9 months. Today was I can't remember who it was, but I think Botman. Yeah, Botman. Botman is out for 6 to 7, 6 to 9 months. I think it was announced earlier today.
Wow.
Yeah, so
Ooh,
it's
I missed
that
that.
bad. Dubravka. At the point, Nick Pope has been injured. Then Dubravka is the second choice. He got injured. Then Luis Carlos had to like take over. So I mean, their key players have just been going down like flies. It's To me, honestly, I don't think I'll hold this against the
But so
manager.
that's you personally. But do you think that excuse should go across board? You know, we have situations where teams either get relegated because of injuries, or teams lose out on championships because of injuries, and managers get sacked.
I think each case is unique. So you can't judge everyone's injury crisis based on the same. So if you look at, say, a team like Manchester United
United,
or a
yes.
team like even Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, these teams that spend heavily in their youth teams, you expect to have youth players to move in and step up. And I don't think Newcastle are one of those teams where they have like fantastic youth players coming through the ranks that can just easily slot into the senior team. And or a team like Chelsea, I don't think they're like that. So I honestly believe that as disappointing as it's been, I think this is very understandable that they've been this bad. They've been
But
scoring at him. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
did you also hear that? I mean, it's just rumor. We don't. I'm not sure how true that is. But they're saying that they want to bring in Mourinho. I know it's PR. I know it's PR. But in the end, they want to bring in Mourinho.
I don't know if that would be a good thing, but I'll be interested to see how he responds to that. For sure, this might be a fit for him because he will finally get what he wants, which is to mold the team in his own image, so
Little
to say,
image, yeah.
a team that is willing to spend like he would want to spend, and a team that wouldn't be afraid to bring in the veteran players that a typical Jose Mourinho team requires.
But
But
so
yeah.
I have one thing. Was I was talking about this the other day when I saw the news. I'm like, why is Jose Mourinho always attracted to teams that are struggling? Like, why? Why can't he just go to it? I mean, I understand, the people might say it's past its prime, it's past its its best, but over the years he has not been to a team that has been on top. It's always a team that is trying to go get back on top, or a team that is fighting another better team, or a team that he has to bring all the way from the ground up. And people then now judge him differently compared to what other managers would have been judged based on his performance.
So I think there's some things. So for what I'll say is, I believe that for managers, they're a bit like players as well. So the way players can have like good forms or good spells and then have like decline a bit, it happens, and that doesn't mean they get to be like bad, they're bad players. Just like Kaká was a phenomenal player during his peak, right? He went to Real Madrid and things didn't really go well. It doesn't mean Kaká became, it doesn't really mean that Kaká was a bum or anything. It just happens. Sometimes good players have that bad moves and it kind of causes them to have a decline in their careers. Shevchenko going to Chelsea, things like that. And I believe that Mourinho is at a stage where he is no longer as good as he was a few years ago. And things could change, he could get back right to the top. He could be, let's say, he could be in charge of the Portuguese national team and, he could get back on track, his career could revive. Things like that happen. We saw it with Ancelotti. After moving to Everton, he went back to Madrid and won Champions League title with them again. So I think Mourinho is in that spell where he isn't as good as he was a few years ago. And it's not an insult, it's just a fact. Like I said, players lose form, and I think managers too can lose form. It happens,
Yeah, but
So
you didn't answer my question, though.
Yeah,
I
so
mean,
that so
no,
I
okay.
forget. Yeah, so
It's
I'm
not a
just trying to
question.
say.
It's just a comment. Like,
Yeah,
I
so I'm
think
just trying to say.
even when he was on top, when he was deemed to be the best coach in the world, he never had the best team. Like, he didn't inherit the best teams. That's what I meant, obviously.
I don't know. I don't know if I can agree with that. I mean, when he was at his peak, he coached the best Inter team. He coached,
No, no,
if
no.
you want to say inherit, well, he inherited a very good Real Madrid team. They were
Yeah,
underachieving, yes, but they were also very
it
good.
wasn't that
So
the Madrid team was way far from what Barcelona was then. Because even for Madrid, I mean, this is the general knowledge, acceptance.
what kind of team do you think he should have? What kind of team do you think he should have coached? What
I
kind of
mean,
job?
so what the kind of teams he should have coached is different from if they would accept him, right? It's a different conversation. Like when Barcelona was on top, he probably would have managed Barcelona. Philosophies are different.
Very different. There was no chance of
But
him
no,
managing.
let's separate philosophies. Rather, like, let's say everybody's going to hire him, regardless of what his philosophy is. He should have gone to Barcelona when Barcelona was on top. He should have gone to United when United was on top. Like, which other team? He shouldn't have gone to Roma, but he went to Roma. He shouldn't have gone to Tottenham, but he went to Tottenham. Now, Newcastle is struggling. Newcastle are like far from being their best. So that's what I'm saying. And I also do not believe, I don't know, maybe just me, do coaches become bad? Because
Yeah, that, so
it's the same thinking.
that's what I'm trying to say. I believe coaches can lose it a bit, and just like the way players find their form or rediscover their form, I think managers too can rediscover their form. So it happens, yeah. But anyway,
Okay,
another game
so
that caught my eye was the
yeah.
Coventry Wolves game. That was one of my favorite from the weekend because I watched
Oh,
that
you
from
watched
start to
it?
finish.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I missed
the
it.
first half was lively. I thought Coventry deserved to win, and when I said watching the second half, I was like, yeah, these guys, they definitely deserve to win. They went ahead with Ellis Sims. He scored, he got them up 1-0, and I honestly believe they should have been up 2-0, 3-0, maybe even 4-0. But Jose Sarr, Wolves goalkeeper, he kept on making saves upon saves upon saves, and then next thing, Wolves just hit them with two goals in the 80th, within the, I think, 83rd and 88th minute. Ait Nouri and Hugo Bueno, two quick goals, and I thought that was it for the tie. Only for Coventry to score in the 97th and 90th minute, to turn it around again. And that's a derby, Midlands derby. So it was, yeah. So I honestly, before the United and Liverpool game kicked off, I thought that was the game of the weekend because it just had everything.
You
I thought
didn't know. Something's
Coventry,
waiting.
yeah, I think there's a thing that I was waiting, but that Coventry really, really played. And this is a very excellent team. Remember last season they were in the playoffs, the promotion playoffs,
Yes.
and they missed their chance to gain promotion. This season, I don't know how it's going to be for them. They are doing quite well in the league, maybe not as well as say last season.
They are
They
eight, so they are far
are
off. Eight.
it, yeah. So
Yeah.
they could sneak into that position, yeah. And six is the cutoff mark, and they are
Yeah.
4 points away. So I mean, it's how many games? 46 games, right?
Yeah.
So there's a chance that they sneak into a playoff spot. And they're one of those teams that you need to keep an eye out for. Very excellent team on the counter and everything. Yeah. So that was one of the exciting games for me
Did you watch the
this
from
weekend.
Tottenham?
Yeah, I did. I did. So Spurs, they've been blowing hot and cold, and I don't know what the problem is. They've not been in. They're not in the FA Cup. They got knocked out of the FA Cup and the EFL Cup very
Yes.
early, and I thought they were going to use that to their advantage and kind of give pretty much take advantage of that and give the other top four contenders a bit of a gap. But I know there was a time when they were battling injuries, but now everyone is back. They have their full squad back, so I really don't get why. Just last weekend, or the weekend before the last, they beat Aston Villa 4-0 at Villa Park, and now they're losing 3-0 in the London Derby. So these are inconsistencies, a bit worrying. I don't know what to make of it, honestly. It
I'm
doesn't make
happy.
sense.
I'm
It
happy.
doesn't make sense.
I
Yeah,
am
I mean,
very happy.
from a United standpoint, you have
No,
to be
no, no,
happy.
no. I'm from a United standpoint. Like this noise of oh, Postecoglou is the best thing after sliced bread. Tottenham are really playing well. It just make them started playing a certain way. I'm like, I understand this love for new things, shiny things, but Tottenham have not done anything differently in the past five years in terms of how they play. Maybe just they just moved. Maybe just came and just the only thing I can say he did differently, or maybe like a little bit different is he just moved their back line and the team forward a little bit, one step forward. I don't think what he's doing is different from what Pochettino was doing back in the days where Eto was doing high line kind of defensive play, and the way they were scoring, the way Kane was scoring, like I don't know how differently that is that everybody is talking about them, and I'm like, I want to see how they will end this season, and I'm still waiting, and their loss against Fulham, they just win away one way or the other. They're just dragging United into that tough, tough conversation. United just on their own say, I'm not interested, but since people insist, I will be interested because there's no reason why that gap shouldn't be more than this. Like the way we have played and the way things have panned out this season, there's no reason why United should have any hope. And that's why I told Obinna and some other guys that have come on the show that it's fine no, if United doesn't make top four, which is right. Like we do not have that bet right to say we'll make top four. But the league will connive when we do that to make us enter that top four. Or maybe they will just drag us into that. Come and talk about it. Come and have a say. Because after beating Aston Villa that much, I was like, maybe, because they reduced Aston Villa's points for no reason. Like, for absolutely no reason. Because there's no point. After beating Aston Villa, reducing their points, now you now lose the next game. So you're like zero. You're like back to like zero because positive and negative, zero. So now you've dragged United back into the conversation because if they had not beaten Aston Villa that last week, Aston Villa would have gone further away from us. But now they've dragged Aston Villa down to us. So, but I'm
Yeah,
happy. I'm really happy, man. Because
the
they
funny
did
thing
not
is
play
that,
anything against Fulham. They did not play anything.
the funny thing is that I believe, I mean, that top four race is going to be a very interesting one because for Spurs, their remaining games are very tough. So they play Newcastle twice, but given Newcastle's injury worries, I don't know how that's going to flow. But they also play Man City, Arsenal, and Liverpool, three of the teams that are in contention for the title. And I believe for Aston Villa as well, they play Arsenal, they play Man City, and they play Liverpool, the second to the last game. Aston Villa also plays. They also play Chelsea. They also play, well, Brighton and Crystal Palace away from home on the final day of the season. So, I mean, these are two teams that, if they
About
don't give
United.
you that. So, United's running is actually very tough. I've been saying it since the start of the season,
Yeah,
but the
he
thing
said, yeah.
United,
He was like going to go check the United switch. Just like, what's this guy saying? When I saw, I was like,
yeah. So United still have, let me see. United, they play Chelsea, they play Liverpool, they play Newcastle, they play Arsenal, play Brighton. So those are tough games. They also travel to Selhurst Park as well. So some very tough fixtures there. Very, very tough fixtures there. But I mean, it's tough for everyone. You can't, this is the business end of the season. You can't just assume
To be down some
they're 3 points.
supremacy. Okay, now let's talk about the match of the weekend. So before you make your opinions known, I was part of the people that did not believe that United was going to beat Liverpool, but like I was maybe miracle red card, Liverpool scores own goal. But I did not see how United was going to play that game because Liverpool, when they face United, they always feel like it's war. Like even if they are in relegation zone, they've not won a game in seven matches. When they see United, them and City, they remember that oh they can play football. So at the beginning of the game, I felt something. I felt like something was wrong. No, not like something was wrong. Something was right for us. And something was wrong for Liverpool. And we're getting areas that for the whole season, for the beginning of this season, up to this point, we were never in those areas consistently. Like we were in those corners, like those positions. I was like, and there was no fight from Liverpool because Liverpool is going to like press you on a ball, apply pressure, make you make mistakes. But it wasn't there. And we're doing it consistently. And I was like, wow, interesting. This is really interesting. And it made me feel the feeling I had, maybe I have the feeling I had when previous week, how City felt against Liverpool. City were in they were in themselves. They were not playing the way they used to play. So I was like, could this be the match where United will beat Liverpool? Granted, it was at Old Trafford, so it's a different conversation. But I would say, in grand scheme of things, I was impressed with United. Even though during the game, I was still angry that we should be taking these chances. Why are we playing this way? But we passed the ball well. We were able to detect the pace of the game. Everybody did their job, even though some people made some foolish decisions, like McTominay, even though he scored. But after he made that foolish decision, it became better. Like, it was like, okay, now let's play football. After Erling shouted at him. And I would say I am pleasantly surprised that we won that game. And around the world, you can tell that the world needs United to win games, because that's a conversation on everybody's lips about how United beat Liverpool and about how Ahmad, the forgotten stone, has become the cornerstone, came in and he changed the game. He came in, I saw him defending properly. He won the game, he won the ball. At some point when Liverpool was going counter against us, they slowed down a little bit, came from behind, got the ball and started the counter back. Then the equalizer after Mr. MB, Mr. Feed the Kid, missed. I was like, this guy's gonna score this, like it was just his bread and butter, and he missed. So all that, like it was just topsy-turvy. It was just, yeah, I was sweating. I wasn't jumping about him. I was just watching the game, watching the TV, sitting alone in my apartment. I wasn't running around. I wasn't like, but I was sweating. Inside cold. It was like intense. But yeah, but I enjoyed it though. I enjoyed it. Like, this is United. This is what we're supposed to be playing. But another thing I had to say, just to wrap my own rant, I feel that game was very emotional. It wasn't tactical. I mean, maybe there was tactics. Do let me just, let me respect the manager. But I felt that emotions played a greater role in the way we played. If we can master that play and apply it to other games, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, this was deliberate. But emotions ran high in that game that kind of propelled us to play that way. But that's my take.
I think this is your last point that you made. I agree with you. I don't think, like, for neutrals, I think this was a very, very excellent game for neutrals. If you see seven games in any match, that's an excellent game for a neutral. For the fans, me, I had a mini heart attack just watching the game. So I wouldn't say the only reason why I enjoyed it was because we got the winner.
Yes,
Ordinarily, I
yes.
wouldn't want to watch a match like that. I wouldn't want to go through these emotions again, except you tell me we are going to win. I'll be like, okay, no. If not, I don't like it. But I think you are right. This is not a game where you really watch it and you gain some like tactical insights. It was all over the place, especially in the what's it called, the extra time where we had Bruno Fernandes and Eriksen sort of playing center, like
Defenders.
taking turns to play center back. Bruno was playing center back, Anthony was playing right back,
Left back,
Amad
yeah.
was playing here, everybody was just all over the pitch. So yeah, I don't think there's any tactical insight to gain from this game. There was a lot of emotions here. It's funny how I think for that 7-0 keeps ringing at the back of both the players and the managers. Sorry, the players and the fans, just knowing that United were trashed 7-0. And I say it's funny because since Ten Hag took over Manchester United, he has actually had a better head-to-head record than Klopp. They've
Yes.
played four matches. Ten Hag has won two, drawn one. He has lost one. So it just happened that one loss was against was the 7-0. Now, there's one very important thing besides the whole drama that went. I think one very important thing is that I sort of believe Klopp got a little bit too cocky with his subs when he took Salah off in the 77th minute,
Yes, no.
because I still keep on I like I keep on thinking, did he feel that in the 77th minute with the scores at what was it, 2-1, that Manchester United were not going to score or they had no chance to score at all? He felt like the game was wrapped up. If that sub had come in the 87th minute or 85th minute or say 90th minute, I would have understood. But 77th minute to take Salah off. I remember this wasn't a case of, oh, Salah had just come back from injury, he's not fully fit. No, he played full 90 minutes in the Europa League game just a few days before, so he was clearly fit. So you get
But sorry to cut it short. Would you blame him? Because you've seen too many games this season that United like
No,
really
you don't
come
take
back.
chance. You don't take chance like that, especially when United had already shown in the first 20, 25 minutes that they were up for this game. The first 20, Man United were actually the better team in the first half. It just happens that they lost control, they lost focus for like 5, 7 minutes, and Liverpool made them pay in those 5, 7 minutes. You get? Well, I think when you look at the first half, United played a lot better than they did, you know. It was a lot. It was over. It was they were all over the place with their tactics. I know, but they were very passionate. Like you rightly pointed out, the players felt like they had something to prove. You look at someone like Diogo Dalot. That guy played his life. He was all over. The guy was like he. See, Garnacho kept on running. These guys, they had something to prove, you know. So I don't. I still don't understand why in the 77 minutes he would make that kind of call to take Salah off. He took Robertson off as well. Remember, Robertson had that puzzled look on his face, like, ah, you're picking me off. You get. So I don't know why he did that. But he did, you know, he did, and things didn't really work out. As a United fan, I'm happy that he made that. He made that. But yeah, it was one of the was a very entertaining game only because we got the winner. But yeah, I was what's the word? I mean, my BP is still coming down, you know. But I was impressed with the effort the players
Yes.
gave. You know, one thing about these United players is that I know they've been getting bad results, and that's my problem. That's why I keep on saying they look poorly coached this season, because some of the issues we've had since the opening game of the season against Wolves, where if you remember correctly, the Wolves players were just strolling through that
To the
midfield.
midfield.
It is, you know, I call it the donut formation because there's nothing in the middle. Because they've been strolling through that midfield. It is from the first game, it's still the same problem that we have 7 months into the season, 6 months into the season. We are still having players stroll through that middle. There's one screenshot that was doing the rounds on Twitter where there was this huge gap between the midfield
Yep,
and
and the
the
defense.
defense line. And yeah, and Szoboszlai was, I think it was Szoboszlai that was with the ball. He was just gliding with ease. That's something that happens at least once in every United game. So that's one of the reasons why I said we are poorly coached. But for the players themselves, you can see that those guys, they actually gave, they cared, you know. That's one thing. So if you watch United under the last few days under Solskjaer, or you watch United under, what's the name of that criminal, Ralf Rangnick, right? You could tell that these players were just, they wanted the season to be over. They didn't care about it. But the players care now, you know, they care. It just happens that things are not really going their way. But it
Maybe
was
they've
good
told
to
them
see.
that. Maybe they've told them that, well, we're not sacking his manager, so whether people like it or not, they have to play.
You know, just to go away from the match itself and to look at just on this manager issue, I honestly believe, and maybe time will tell, maybe because again, you know, like I said, managers also pick up, you know, they pick up form. So except Erik ten Hag is able to work some magic and improve some kind of way over the next few, the last 2 months of the season, I wouldn't entrust him with Garnacho, Kobbie Mainoo, and Rasmus Højlund. I honestly believe
And
with those three,
Dalot.
no, not even Dalot. Those three players, I'm very specific about those three: Garnacho, Mainoo, and Rasmus Højlund. I believe those three players are players that United can build a proper team around, a team that can dominate for the next 5 to 10 years. I know Garnacho is going to leave at some point because that guy, he's definitely going to end up in Madrid at some point.
Yes, and
But I
those people are not
believe,
serious now. You are the serious team.
But I believe these other guys, in fact, including Garnacho, I believe around those three guys, they can provide us with the foundation that we can build a proper team on. And it might seem like a joke now, but we see it with Arsenal. Arsenal is now a team that is challenging for the Premier League year in, year out. They are now making deep runs in the Champions League. Oh, wait now.
Yeah,
I didn't say that.
don't say year in,
No.
year out. Don't say year in, year out. You make it sound
No,
like
no,
when you
no.
start making it means like 5 seasons they've been in conversation. No,
No,
just last
no,
season.
no. This is 2 seasons in a row now.
And just
They
last season,
have.
you cannot say year.
They
Don't
are
use
in
year in, year
con.
out. Don't use year in, year out. No, don't
Okay.
be like that. Don't be like that. No, don't be my ops on my show, please.
Okay. However you want to look at it, Arsenal, they've now showed that they're a team that can challenge for a title.
Titles,
You
yes.
get, right? And they did that by building on three players: Saka, Martin Odegaard, and William Saliba. And all they've done is just to have the right pieces around these three guys. You know, there's Declan Rice. They spent 100 million on Declan Rice. brought in goalkeepers, they brought in Timber, even though Timber hasn't played, they brought in Ben White, they brought in all these pieces. But these three guys, Odegaard, Saka, and Saliba, you know, those three guys, they are like the cornerstone to this new Arsenal project, right? And I believe in Manchester United's case, they have those three guys. But my own problem now is that I don't, right now, 20th of March, 2024, I don't believe they have the right manager to bring out the best in these guys. So to me, looking at it now, I think Ineos would be a bit irresponsible to have these three players under the care of Erik ten Hag. So personally, I would want to see a new manager come in. But if he change, if he changes, if he improves, I'll be the first to tell you, okay, I got it wrong. But right now, I think
Still
United
it.
have to they
Still
have to be
it.
root they have to be ruthless in how they handle those three guys.
It's too late. It's too late. So I was having this conversation with a few of my friends that are United fans, and I feel that two things. You can always tell when a manager's time is up, even if he wins the trophy. You can tell that this manager is like, he's spent, he's done. That's one. And two, I made a comparison, right? I said, you see how United is and how Everton is. You see how badly Everton plays, right? You can tell that they are bad, majorly because of the personnel that they have, not because of their style of play. And I said, United is not bad in terms of quality as much as Everton. So why are we playing poverty football? And it points towards the manager. And they were like, no, the players too have to take part of responsibilities. I'm like, yes, but when you don't have a clear-cut instruction for the players to go on the pitch, of course they'll be all over the place. And these people are like people who I would say they were trained to listen to instructions. No matter how great a player is, we still want something from the manager. We still want some instruction from the manager. Like, okay, I don't want us to play today. Do you want me to go long? Do you want me to come short? Do you want me to go wide? Do you want me to run behind the defense? Like, these are players that are good. Like the Ronaldos of this world, the Zlatans, the Messi, they still need the manager to give a clear-cut instruction that this is what we want to play today. When you don't have that, of course, everybody will be all over the place. And you now make players who ordinarily would always play better on this particular position, and it just does become trash by default. But anyways, I saw something in that game that I've not seen in a long time. And that was Dalot's positioning, where Dalot was getting the ball from Onana, and the way he was able to like wiggle around the pressure. And I was and I was like, this is a position Maguire would be, and you almost have an attack. So why is somebody that's playing on the right back or left back doing better in the position where you were touted to be a ball-playing defender, and someone is excelling in that position? I was like, this is just something. But as you said, you know, we need to move on from Ten Hag, and hopefully, maybe they will listen to you. Maybe you have a better voice. Oh, you know how to predict, so maybe your prediction will work this time.
I don't even know if that's a prediction. I don't even know if I'll take credit for that prediction. I think it's an easy call to make. They should move on, you know.
But this is my prediction has been so poor. I've been so bad with my prediction. Like, I don't be this bad in a long time. But yeah, so talking about those young kids at United. So do you agree with Kobbie Mainoo being called up from under 23? Is it under 23? Yeah, it was under 23,
No,
right? Under
he's been called up to
21.
the. No,
Yeah, he
he's been
was called.
called
He
up to the
was.
senior team.
Yeah, he was. On, was in the under 21 team. They now called him for the senior team.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Personally, I didn't want him to be called up to the senior team yet. I always, maybe I'm too fearful of all these players. I didn't want them to be like, I didn't want the pressure to be too much on him because it just seems to be happening too fast. You know, he's this is like his breakout season. I remember he, in
Yeah.
the preseason he had that very nice game against Arsenal. Then he got hurt. It seemed like the whole world was waiting on Mainoo to come back from injury. Everybody was saying, "Don't worry, when Mainoo comes back, people will see." He came back, and we are seeing, you know, he's playing well. But I just wanted things to slow down a bit. The good thing is that he is someone who is very level-headed. He has a very nice family around him that keeps him grounded. So
How do you know?
maybe
How do you
it's no
know?
much worry. No, I mean just reports. You read these things now. I mean, remember when Ravel Morrison was coming through the rank? Ravel Morrison is by far, by what judging by what everybody has said, he is the brightest academy product from Manchester United. But you know, everybody kept on saying the same thing that you know he just didn't have that family support, or he just came from a very troubled background, and at the end of his career, or at the end of the day, that's what caught up with him. It wasn't a question of talent, or just that his past just caught up with him, his lifestyle caught up with him.
Why
So you
need to
read these things, you
mention
know these things.
Greenwood?
I think that's a sensitive case. That's like a criminal. That's a criminal case. I mean that. So I mean,
He's
I don't
part
want to
of it
go
now.
there.
He's part
But I
of
think,
it.
yeah. But I mean, it's still the same thing. That was one of the reasons why, you know, United were very protective of him because they also knew the kind of player that he was. Even before the whole Greenwood incident, the tape got leaked.
Case, yeah.
Remember, Southgate wasn't really picking him for the English national team, you know, because
Yes.
they knew something was up. So it's not the same case with Kobbie Mainoo now. These guys, they do their research. They know when these players are good people, so to say. You see Bukayo Saka as well. Everybody's always saying the same thing about him. He's a nice kid. He's this and that. And you know, Kobbie Mainoo is also getting the same thing. So I guess I'm not too worried, but I didn't want him to progress that fast because I know it's the English national team. Let's not forget. These
Yeah.
guys, they know how to turn on people. We've seen, and he's not just a young kid, he's also a black man. So me,
Yeah.
I mean, I just wanted him to be protected when he's a bit older, like let's say in a year's time, because he's not rushing anywhere now. He will still represent England. All these talks about, oh, Ghana will come out, like, he's not going to leave England
He's
and
not
come
going to
play
be
for
for
Ghana.
Ghana. No.
Are we kidding?
And he
So
can still play
me,
for Ghana.
for
He can still
selfish,
play for Ghana.
exactly. For me personally, for selfish reasons, I wanted him to be a little bit more protected. I wanted that growth to be slowed down just a bit. I didn't want that international limelight to be on him. But it has happened. I think he's just that good. He's you can't keep him hidden forever. I can't keep him protected forever. That's the kind of
So
talent we're talking about.
why did the foolish manager wait till after Liverpool game to call him after he had released the list?
I don't know. I don't know. I honestly didn't. Maybe did any England player drop out due to injury? I'm not sure.
That's what was surprising to me. Like I did not see anybody say.
I didn't fully read the news, but I just know that he got replaced. So maybe someone got injured or someone pulled out. You know, everybody's pulling out now. No, I saw
Yeah,
because
come on,
this remember these
serious
are
time.
friendlies. Yeah, remember
Yeah.
these are friendlies that they're going for. These are not like let's say qualifiers or Nations League. You understand? These are just friendlies, so people are pulling out. I saw one news of, or I saw a video of Erling Haaland limping in Norway's training. I was like, ah, this one has beef. This guy, somebody are preparing to play Arsenal in a few
Criminal,
weeks. That
criminal.
criminal. That's all criminals. Everybody's pulling out. Griezmann has pulled out. I see criminal. He wants to play Champions League against Dortmund. There are criminals everywhere. Don't mind them. So yeah, for selfish reasons, I wish he wasn't called up. But you know, I guess he's just that
I
good now.
mean,
He's too high.
I feel like I was looking at it from this angle of imagine if I was in that position and knowing that the ultimate quote unquote is to play for your country and you get called up at that very young age. Do we all be so happy? Do we all be giddy that I've been like dreaming about this to kind of wear the national team colors? So I'm happy for him, but just as you said, as a United fan, I just feel like he's too early. But
No,
it just
but
seems to be one of those kind of players that are different.
I wouldn't say, yeah, no, I get it, but at the same time, too, sorry for cutting short. From a tactical point, right, I can also understand why
They will
Southgate
call
will
him up.
also want to have him in because I mean the Euros are just like 3 months away, right? 3, 4 months, yeah, 3 weeks, 3 months away, and he needs to know what he's going to play at the Euros. Because I know normally it's Declan Rice and Henderson, right, in the middle. But Henderson spent the first 6 months of the season or the first half of the season playing in the Saudi Pro League. The Saudi Pro League is the equivalent of League One, not even Championship, League One, right? Forget the fact that they have stars like Ronaldo and
What's
so
MLS? What's MLS?
the Saudi
What's MLS?
MLS would be like the Championship or maybe lower or maybe even League One as well. You know, it's
Okay.
these are not high standard league. Let's not these are poor
No, we
leagues.
know, we know, we know. I was just, I just want to check something. I want to check something.
No.
I want to check something.
No, I'm not one of those biased
Okay. But you're in a bias show now.
Messi,
You're in a bias show.
Ronaldo guys. Oh, true. So Henderson has spent the first half of the season playing in the league as equivalent of the League One. So he needs to know if there are better options. Who is because Henderson Bellingham is going to be one of the midfield three. Rice definitely is going to be one of the midfield three. I think there's one open spot. So who is it going to be for? Is he going to
Where's
have
Mount?
Maddison
Where's Mount
there?
gonna play?
Coach Mount, is there going to be Maddison there? Stop calling Mount. Let's be serious. I think it's not a serious conversation. You think Mount is going to start for England? Let's be serious. So I don't know if he's going to play Maddison. Maddison has looked like he deserved it. Would he want to try? Would he want to keep Henderson? Henderson is a formula that has worked for him. At the World Cup, two World Cups and 1 Euros, you know, Henderson has been the man there and he has taken him to the semi-finals of the World Cup, the finals of the Euros, and the quarterfinals of another World Cup you get. So should he stick with that, you know, or is it could be Mainoo that is going to break in and bring in something fresh? Remember, he took that gamble on bringing in Bellingham and Bellingham paid off. So would he want to take that risk again on bringing? So there are a lot of things. There's also James Ward-Prowse as well. So
Yeah,
does
what
he
else?
integrate him? You know, just there are different moving layers to these things. I think he would want to find out his the third piece to that midfield. Is it Gallagher for Chelsea? You know, or Cole Palmer? You know, Cole Palmer, or is it Foden? How do they work these things out? So
I
I
feel
think
like
that's what.
honestly, if he's smart, he should make Kobbie Mainoo the base, play Bellingham and what's his name? And who's the last person?
Declan Rice.
Declan Rice, and let's just move on. Just end the conversation. Because that gives you more balance. Because if the other players are calling, I mean, is able to play the Declan Rice on the base and not pick the other two midfielders that are in front, you know, running around, maybe Foden and Bellingham. Because Foden wants to be 10. Foden doesn't want to come from the wide. And you have Rashford that can come from both ends. So, and Kane is there. The team
Yeah,
is
well.
complete now.
Well, these are the things that they have to think about. You know, Cole Palmer as well. Cole Palmer
Obama,
has been a fantastic form this season. Jarrod Bowen. You know, Bowen is going to be a substitute for sure. But you know, these are the things that they have to look at. And you know, friendlies are the time to experiment. So I think that's why he just wanted to bring him in and see if this. So there's a very high probability that if everybody's fit, Kobbie Mainoo might not even make
Yeah, it will make
the
it,
Euros
yeah.
list. Yeah, so it's just
But
part
it's
of
good.
your plan.
I'm actually happy for him. I'm happy for him that, you know, this is going. But now let's spend so much time. So very quickly, we have the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League, and we have Arsenal facing. So Arsenal is at home first, facing Bayern. Madrid at home first, facing City. PSG at home first, facing Barcelona. Atletico Madrid at home first, facing Dortmund. So just very quickly, before I talk about the meetings I want to talk about, prediction, just prediction quickly. Arsenal Bayern, who's going to the semi-finals?
If this was 3 weeks ago, I would say Arsenal, but right now I'm leaning towards Bayern.
Bayern, okay. Madrid City, quickly, who's moving on?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think I picked Madrid. I'll stick with them.
Okay, PSG Barcelona.
I can't go against Mbappe, so PSG.
PSG, okay. I think Madrid Dortmund.
Athletic for sure.
Okay, so I have a question for you. I've had discussions with Arsenal fans, and I don't know where they get this confidence from that out of all the teams, right, on this like draw, before they even made the draw, they said they wanted Dortmund. Do you feel it as a slap on your face?
Which slap on my face? No, I mean Dortmund. I mean objectively, I think you can make a case that they are like the weakest side out of the remaining eight. So yeah, I mean everybody wants an easier ride now. Nobody wants to go through
The toughness.
the what's it called? So I mean, would you rather if they gave you like a helicopter ride that takes 5 minutes from say island to mainland or to enter Molue to which one would you take? What a helicopter ride now. So everybody wants an easy ride. I can't blame them. So I think objectively Dortmund, they are like the weakest out of the remaining eight teams. And yeah, I think everybody will have been hoping to have drawn Dortmund, even though they did well against PSV, but then again it's PSV.
So now, Arsenal fans also believe that, I mean, they've been saying bring on Madrid, but now they are facing Bayern, their nemesis. I want to understand where the confidence is coming from that they will beat Bayern. Granted, Bayern has been playing before last three weeks. I've been watching Bayern game, like, it's just ridiculous how bad they've been. But in the last 3 weeks, I don't know where they just found that rhythm from, and they seem to be playing well again.
I think for Bayern, I think it's that change has come since they informed Thomas Tuchel that he won't be manager at the end of the season or he'll be stepping at the end of the season. So yeah, I think with that, I think there's the sort of freedom that comes with that. Now he knows he's not afraid for
See,
his job. Because what I
I'll
mean
be
to
here
say,
anymore. I'll be here next season.
and we've also seen the same thing with Barcelona too. They are playing with some sort of freedom now. The last three games they scored 16 goals. That's Bayern Munich. In the last
It's
six, in the
crazy.
last three games they scored 16 goals. They are playing at a very high level now, and that's why I feel. So one key thing is that I think Arsenal have to make the most of that first leg,
Yes.
because in the game between Bayern and Lazio in Italy, the Bayern fans, they threw flares onto the pitch, and because of that they are serving like, so they're not going to be away fans at the Emirates basically. So I don't know if that's going to be a very key that's going to be very key for them. And we've seen Arsenal make the most of that atmosphere at the Emirates. They've beaten Manchester City, they've beaten Liverpool, they've beaten United. They've had some very big results at the Emirates thanks to their fans and everything. So would that play a huge part in this tie? I think so. I think so. I wouldn't be surprised if they won the first leg 1-0,
1
2-1.
0,
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah. But everything just boils down to how it will go in the second leg and the Allianz Arena. So and that's where I believe Bayern will take it. But this is one of those ties where, I mean, in fact, I think when it gets to the quarterfinal, the only two teams that will, no, the only team that I guess will qualify and will shock me is if Bond knocks out Atletico Madrid. I think that'll be shocking. But for the remaining three, you could easily see either of the teams advancing at the expense of the other.
And so I was just talking about that. If you look at the way it's been like the fixtures, Arsenal is at home. So first, so if Arsenal doesn't use that opportunity to like beat them well, second leg is going to be very, very tough for them. Then imagine if Arsenal just allows Bayern that back door in that first leg, they are done. Then Madrid needs to beat City well, else they are done too. PSG, I mean, because of Mbappe, just only because of Mbappe, I'm like, okay, maybe PSG would not, man, just edge it. But for
Yeah,
Arsenal, Bayern,
but no, I was going to say that the Real Madrid game it's a tasty one, because I believe, I mean, they've met two seasons in a row now, and the winner between both of them has gone on to win the title itself, Champions League itself. And I was saying I honestly wish this was like a semi-final tie or even the finals itself, because it's painful to see one of these guys get knocked out
at a
before the
very early
semi-finals.
stage,
Yeah, but that's enough for you. This Manchester City team, they are slightly below the team from last season, and this Real Madrid team, they're a better team than they were last season, right?
Correct, correct.
So I believe they're more evenly matched. One thing when I was discussing with my guys over the weekend, I told them that one thing I noticed, this the huge difference between last season and this season for Real Madrid is that last season they were still that dependent on the old gods to like carry them
Carry them
through.
up.
So you could see the team kind of leaning on Benzema, saying, okay, Benzema, carry us through, or Luka Modric, work your magic, or all those. But now we've seen the young guys step up to say, this is our time. Jude Bellingham has stepped up. We've seen Rodrigo step up. Vinicius, of course, the younger guys, Tchouaméni, Camavinga, these guys are now stepping up to say, it is our time now. It's, we are the one. This is our own Madrid now. You get what we've been showing before has been signs of, yes, we can do it, but now we have to do
We
it.
are doing it.
So you can see that there's no more that reliance on Luka Modric too. I'm not saying he's not capable of those magic moments, but it's no longer the youngsters, but if the youngsters have stepped up now. So it's going to be an interesting tie. One thing I will say about Manchester City that I've not been impressed with them in the big teams this season. They've not beaten Chelsea this season. They've not beaten Liverpool. They've lost twice to Arsenal. They drew twice. No, no, they drew with Spurs. So they've kind of
They
struggled
drew to
against.
Chelsea twice.
Yeah. I mentioned that. So
It's only us a
we.
bit though.
Yeah, and only us. Yeah, exactly. It's only Manchester
Sad.
United in peace,
Sad.
right? So
Sad.
they've not been as impressive as they were last season. So there's that to consider. And of course, Madrid is going to be the toughest test they'll face this season. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm leaning towards Real Madrid, but obviously no one is going to be shocked if Man City wins. Nobody is going to be
Nobody,
shocked.
yeah. And Madrid this season, they're one of the most random team I've seen. Like, you don't know who's gonna step up to just carry the team. Like, okay, today's my turn. Like, I think it was last game or so. Camavinga came in, and this guy was dribbling everybody on the pitch. He was playing short from outside. He was doing everything. I'm like, who is this guy? Like, Camavinga. I mean, I know he can do that, but him now doing it like on a very like large scale, longer spells of the game. Because in those days, I mean, like 2 seasons or 3 seasons ago, or 1 season ago, you would just do maybe 10 minutes here and then you see him like just do small. But that particular game, throughout the game, it was a menace. It was really a
Very
menace.
true, very
And
true. So, I mean, listen.
I will see. We'll see how that goes. But I mean, I just want Bayern Munich to just beat Arsenal, so we can just let them just go and rest, just end their season. Just but if they beat Bayern, their confidence will be so high that they will beat everybody in the
The thing is that the thing is that even we've been talking about how Man City haven't been at their best this season. Bayern too haven't been at their best this season for, I mean, as we all know. Even they beat Manchester United once, drew once, and in those games, I feel like United really pushed them to the limits. It was a
Yes,
4-3, 4-3 and 0-0, they've lost to Bayer Leverkusen 3-0, heavy defeat, and I think in the first leg was 2-2, so they've not really, and of course they lost to Lazio, so they've not really been at their best this season. Arsenal is definitely a team that can
they can
beat
hold
them. It's
them.
just that, like I said, Tuchel is playing with this sort of free, or is managing with this kind of freedom that we haven't seen since he got in charge. And again, I think Bayern were a bit smart to not sack him in the middle of the season, because the mistake they made last season was to sack Nagelsmann in the middle of the season. And if you remember, Claire, if you remember, Bayern were on track to win the treble. I mean, they are still in the Champions League. They were in the DFB Pokal, and they had a very comfortable, or well, not a comfortable, but they had a lead in the Bundesliga, and they ended up winning the Bundesliga simply because Dortmund choked on the final day of the season, right? So they easily would have gone trophyless last season, and that was because they sacked Nagelsmann and everything just fell apart. So
Middle
this season,
season,
they're trying to be a bit careful by not sacking Tuchel, even though they're letting go of him, and that has worked in their favor. They've kind of had this mini turnaround, and let's see
That's how it
if
goes.
drop again.
Yeah, that's but it seems to be it's gonna be a very tasty quarterfinal that everybody's gonna watch out for. So last part of the show, Nottingham Forest. They were docked 4 points. And everybody keeps asking. Everyone keeps asking, how is City still not charged for anything? I can't remember if it was you or somebody that said the charges against City is so much that it's going to take time for it to come. But is it that after Pep's grandson has started playing for City before they bring the charges? Because I don't understand everybody around them, everybody that is also like just last was it last, well, last season I thought not said no not Tiam were found lacking last season. And these people have been doing in one of the investigations in 2018. Come on now, like it's just ridiculous. Ridiculous at this
See,
point.
you see, smarter men than me have not been able to understand why it's got that. I won't even try to make sense of it. I just believe that they are playing by a different set of rules and the money switching hands. And I mean, football is a dirty business, so only God knows what is happening behind the scenes. In a just world, those guys will have not only been docked points, they will have been stripped of their titles,
Yes.
stripped of a few titles. So, but I mean, like I said, smarter men than me have tried to make sense of it, and they've not. So I'm not even going to attempt to make sense of what's happening. It's just unfortunate that Nottingham Forest, they are like a small fish. You
It's
know, they
not
don't have
fly.
mouth. They don't have
Yeah.
mouth, so they can easily slam or make an example out of them. But honestly,
Right
I
now,
no, nobody knows how to keep on getting away with it.
you know, right now, everything is still under investigation. So they can still dock 10 points after giving them 4 points.
4 points back.
Yeah, they can still
Someone
go
said.
back and.
Someone said this season is going to end like the way the VAR, in the way VAR is. So, you know the way you score a goal and you start waiting for VAR to like check for 2 minutes. Someone said this season, like experts, not even someone joking you. Like he said, this season
Wow.
might come down like that. That we might have a situation whereby even 2, 3 weeks after the season, teams might not know if they are relegated or not because they are waiting for the final verdict on this whole
That's crazy.
Premier League's profitability and sustainability rules, whatever you get. He said this is how it's going to be for, because I mean, Nottingham Forest, they've been having this, they've been, like you said, since last season, right? They've been under investigation, and it's just now 10 weeks or 8 weeks to the end of the season that they are getting hit with a 4 point deduction. So, and they have 7 weeks to appeal, and
7 weeks.
just the same way Everton appealed, and they were given 4 points back after I think 3 months or so. So you could have a situation where the same thing to Nottingham Forest might be relegated on paper, and then after like 3 months, or after like okay, let's see, a month after the season ends, they now win the appeal and the points get given back to them. Then let's see another team like maybe say Luton Town will now go from
Really get
surviving
it.
to relegation. So it's going to be a very messy end of the
Wow.
season. Yeah.
So as a fan, you're just like holding your breath at home. As a
Yeah.
little fan, survive based on 30 hours for reason. Well,
That's
don't
why you
drop
have
any
to.
other
That's why
points
you
back
have
home.
to. That's why you have to score, win as much as you can now, gather as much points as you can now, because you can't
That's
tell. It's
crazy.
a huge mess. It's a huge mess. I
That's
don't know why it's
crazy.
taking.
Ah, man. I mean, speaking of City, I still maintain that those people there, they cook their books because just looking at how United won
Now,
against
of
Liverpool and everybody talking about United and revenue as that win has generated. I don't know how City is able to earn more, generate more money than United. In what world? Like I'm still no, there's no way, man. There's no way. There's no way. But it's all good. As you said, wiser men have not been able to
course.
understand what's going on.
Yeah, so.
So let's just leave it at that. Anyways, thank you very much for joining me today.
My pleasure, sorry.
Anytime it comes to European football, we always lean on you for your knowledge. And
So.
hopefully we'll see you again. Let me say hello to madame for allowing me borrow you for this very short period.
No, I'll let you hear, man. You
Yeah.
hear, man. Yeah, I hope all is well, work as well. Shout out to Obi
Yeah,
now. Yeah.
I was surviving. No, we are surviving. Yeah. Well, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking with us up to this point, and hopefully, by God's grace, we'll be back with another exciting episode. There's international break, so we'll probably be on break during this period to refresh and come back stronger for the exciting end of the season. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye.